Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Mean Green Nation podcast on a beautiful sunny day, sunny Sunday day. Here, at least it's sunny here where I am at Mean Green Nation HQ. You know, and the day after a Mean Green win, the sun is brighter. You know, your wife's a little more beautiful. And, you know, ladies, you listen to this, I'm sure when you wake up the day after a Mean Green win, your husband even looks a little bit like the handsome guy you thought you married, you know? You look at him, you're like, look at that handsome guy right there. Your kids are, you know, a little bit cuter. Everything's a little bit better the day after a Mean Green win. Am I lying, Mr. Aldo?
You are not lying. I definitely look a lot better.
Right. I'm looking at you right now, and I'm just like, you know what? That's a handsome guy staring at me via Skype. Folks, North Texas went undefeated. 6-6, undefeated at home at Apogee for the first time in history, in Apogee history, but the first time at home since 2003. That was Fouts at that time, and the first time going 6-0 since 1966. I'm sure you've heard these stats recited at you over and over again, but it's fun to say it one more time. Yeah?
Yeah, it's been fun watching all these games.
Yeah, dude, I was saying the Mean Green at home have not been boring. Like, the Lamar game, that's always fun because it's a little blowout, and they blew them out pretty easily, and that was fun to go to, right? Only 19,000 saw that one, but that was fun. And the next one is UAB, right? That was an ordeal. It was a little bit more stressful than maybe we wanted it to be, but it was an entertaining game, right? North Texas drives down, kicks the game-winning field goal. It's not boring. You stayed for the whole time. You were thoroughly, thoroughly entertained.
It was kind of a preview for the rest of the season.
Yes. And then, of course, the most famous home victory was probably the UTSA game. I mean, Mean Green Nation made a shirt about it, right? 98 yards in 57 seconds, 7 plays. Rico Bussey, 22-yard TD. Pass, reception, right? Super awesome. Made the highlight reels. The next one was Old Dominion. Another a lot closer than it should have been. I think that one finished 45-38, if I remember right. But in every game but the Lamar game, I'm listing all these, North Texas was down, you know? So they've spotted the other team's a lead there. Old Dominion led for, like, a drive or something like that. Like, they scored and made it 38-35 or something. And then what other one was after that? Oh, UTEP. UTEP led 7-0.
Yeah, for a little bit.
Yeah, it was 14-7 at halftime, and then, you know, the second-largest crowd in Apogee history, then second-largest crowd. Last night's crowd, 26,363, I believe. I'm going from memory right now. That is now the new second-largest crowd in Apogee Stadium history.
It was a whole mess of people there, and, you know, the alumni side showed up, the students showed up, and Army brought a lot of visitors.
Yeah, it was pretty cool to see on the broadcast. Usually you see a lot of bleachers. Last night on the broadcast, you saw it filled up. The wing section was about halfway filled. You know, from what I remember of that Houston game when I was there, I sat in the wing section then, so I couldn't see it from far off. It was about three quarters full. Like, nobody ever sits on the tips of the wing. But I think if this season we were to hold a conference championship game here, I think that place would be near to sold out.
Yeah, and unfortunately we're not, and FAU Stadium's going to be about, you know, 20, well, maybe not that low, but 30.
No, it might not even be that, dude. It might be like 12,000 people. Oh, sorry, you're saying the percentage.
Percent. It's like the stadium is about the same size as ours, I believe. Mm-hmm. And outside of that Navy game where Navy brought 28,000 people, FAU's been averaging about 14,000.
It's awful. I saw the other night, like, Western Kentucky had something similar. That Western Kentucky has a good team. They've had a good team. They've had an historically good team. Like, Western Kentucky won a few 1AA titles, right? I think Jack Harbaugh, the father of John and
Jimmy.
Yeah, Jim was the coach there, and he led them to, you know, FCS championships and whatnot. So, Yeah, they've had a good program for a long period of time, and yet nobody wants to go to their games. It's weird. They're like, oh, it's cold. You know, they have excuses. Nobody wants to go. We've long said here at North Texas that the deal with the Metroplex, I don't know if you've ever seen the Metroplex, you people that are non, I guess, I don't know how you would be a North Texas fan, but never be in Dallas-Fort Worth. But DFW is very fickle, right? It's very fickle, and you got to show them that you're worth coming to, or else they're not going to show up. There's plenty of other options. And, I mean, I remember one time I was there, and somebody asked if I was going to the game, and I was like, wait, what game are you talking about? I think North Texas plays at home. SMU was at home. TCU was at home. I think there was like an Alabama game at the Death Star. There's a lot of stuff happening. A lot of stuff happens all the time. It's like minor league games there too. Yeah. Yeah. So if you're good, Dallas-Fort Worth will show up. Denton will show up. They'll go see what's going on. Show me a good time. So we've long said that was going to be the case. We win. People show up. In 2013, we had our best attendance. Yeah, I mean, you know, we talk about it all the time. That UTEP game in 2013 was homecoming. It was the second largest crowd in Apogee Stadium history then, and now it's the third, fourth largest.
Fourth now.
Yeah, fourth. So, you know, it was building up. It was a good team. They're like, hey, this 2013 team is pretty good. The only reason that the UTSA game didn't sell out was because the weather was awful. It was like freezing cold. Yeah, that's going to depress attendance a little bit anyway, no matter what. Good times last night, a good win, a stressful win.
It was a nail-biter, but it was really fun to watch. It was frustrating to see so much scoring, especially on the Army side.
Yeah.
But it was still, you know, they kept North Texas kept up. And Army got votes for a reason. They know how to score. They can run it up on anyone, as you saw last night against North Texas.
580 yards of offense or something like that.
Which most of it was rushing yards.
Yeah.
I think there was only 27 receiving yards. And North Texas was able to just keep up. There's something to be said about that.
Yeah, so coming into the game, I don't know. It was a busy week for the proprietor of MeanGreenNation.com. Yours truly. And so I didn't get to kind of keep to the regular schedule, the schedule I normally have when I'm posting these things. I usually like to get a recap up like Wednesday, Thursday, definitely by Friday at the latest. But this time I didn't get nothing up until like Saturday morning, like Saturday afternoon, something like that. I understand if you guys didn't read it. But in it, I said I felt like our offense is better. And maybe I said this during the week on the Wednesday podcast. Our offense is better than the one that went step for step with Army in the bowl game, right? Like, we're just tons better. Like, last year we were averaging, what, you know, I think we talked about it. We were averaging, like, we're second to last in the conference in offense. And we went step for step with Army. This year we have literally the best offense in North Texas history. We're averaging 476 yards a game. That is by, like 20 yards per game greater than the best team on a per game total yardage average. So this is the best offense in North Texas history by at least one metric. And I want to say we're probably the best scoring offense too. I haven't looked.
Probably.
Yeah. So here we are. We have this explosive offense. And I was thinking, you know, like Army's advantages are that they will limit your time of possession and force you to score quickly and explosively. And those are our strengths, right? That's what we can do. We can score from anywhere. We've seen it, 98 yards a couple times. I think we went about 98 yards this time. We started out on one drive at the 12. We went backwards to the 2, and we went down and scored. Like it just.
Well, I was doing the math on that, and I didn't get – it was just back of the napkin math.
Yeah.
Math. Because we lost 12 yards on one play, 10 yards on another play, and I think an additional – 2 yards. So we went like 115 yards to score on that drive.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm at the point where I don't ever fear that we can't score. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, it's cool. We got Mason Fine, right? We got Jeff Wilson. Well, now we don't, but we'll get into that in a second. So I was never, I don't know. I was watching the game. I was getting a little nervous, only that Army was going to score late and then go for 2. And then now we're just going to run out of time. That's what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah, and that's the fear that I had as well, especially when they were going to go for two. They were waiting, talking about it. Finally, they just kicked it, and I was like, oh, thank goodness.
So the I don't know. We had 11 total drives, right? And we scored on 7 of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 of 11 drives, including the game winner at the end. We punted twice and we threw an interception. This offense played about the perfect game, and they would have had more yards if they didn't get a couple of short fields situations a couple times. What was it, like 32? Yeah. Well, yeah, the drop at the end. They would have got more yards there at the end if Rico Bussey didn't drop that wide open. I think he tweeted, I lost my clutch gene. It worked out in the end. Army had the ball 12 times and scored 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. And they turned the ball over on downs and they had a fumble, which is really the muff punt. They ended the ball at the half, and they punted only once. So, you know, and obviously they just ran out of time at the end. If you gave them another 3 minutes at the end of the game there, they probably would have scored again. I mean, this game was ridiculous. We really need to to think about how crazy it was to escape that. Like, we made all those decisions we made where Seth Luttrell said, let's get the ball first because we need every possession that we can get. We did that, went down and scored. I don't know. It was coming down to the point where that interception at the end of the first half might have been like very crucial. Where we were like, "Oh man, that was the deciding play,"
because we would have scored on that one.
Yeah, we're moving the ball so easy. That whole drive was strange. Jeff Wilson fumbles on the 4th-and-1. We recover. The very next play, Jalen Guyton gets concussed on a clear targeting penalty that was overturned. Just that was so ridiculous. I don't see it. I thought that was pretty terrible. And beyond whether or not he should have been thrown out of the game, Jalen Guyton, you know, he got a helmet to the chin, and he looked like he got knocked out. He had his arm kind of just up in the air. One of the linemen thought that he was asking for help up when he was just kind of doing that thing that happens when you get knocked out and your arm just kind of goes straight out.
He just goes stiff.
Yeah. And so that was all kind of bad. Luckily, he was able to wobble off the field. Like, you can tell he was disoriented. And, you know, that he's going to take some time to recover. There is plenty of time, 2 weeks before the title game. So hopefully he takes up that whole time. And, yeah, are you going to say that there's no telling how long it takes? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So we could be out. Jeffrey Wilson and Jalen Guyton are two leading offensive guys on the team.
Yeah, and Jeff did something to his ankle, to his foot. I think it was his ankle. There was nothing really clear on the broadcast, and I didn't really hear anything until later on the Mean Green Radio Network's post-game show, brought to you by Adams, brought to you by Ramey King. I don't know what. There's like 8 sponsors for one segment. Where Seth Luttrell said, yeah, it's going to be bad. Hopefully we can get him back by the bowl game, maybe.
Yeah, if we can get him back by the bowl game, that'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, it really kind of sucks that, the Rice game, not a huge deal, but definitely the conference championship game, that you'd want your best player, best offensive player for that one. You know, I've been saying that Jeff Wilson is clearly the best offensive player, but it's getting to the point where Mason Fine is knocking on that door and making a case.
Yeah, and making other people better.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's the case usually with the quarterback, right? Like, you get more opportunities to do that. But, I mean, Jeff Wilson is special. You could see that last night. He didn't get a whole lot of touches. But I think late when Nick Smith had the ball in that drive, those would have been Jeff Wilson carries. And, you know, he would have put the game away and added to his stats.
Jeff Wilson had 19 carries, but the offensive line was just not giving him any room. By the time that Jeff Wilson was reaching the line of scrimmage, he had 2 or 3 Army guys surrounding him.
Yeah, and when he got room, he scored, right? I mean, you saw, like, he just did amazing cutbacks and got forward. Nick Smith was pretty solid in his stead. 7 carries, 35 yards, the score, as long as it's 12. He was instrumental in that drive, one of the fourth quarter scoring drives. I mean, it's crazy. There's so many touchdowns in this game. North Texas, 489 yards of offense, 386 yards passing, 103 yards rushing, 25 first downs, 7 of 11 on third down, 2 of 2 on fourth down. It's crazy.
Turner Smiley?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, 69 total plays. By the way, that's right about our season average. We were concerned that we were not going to get as many touches. Well, we did, not because we made Army give us the ball back, but Army's, by rule, forced to give us the ball back after they score a touchdown. That's how we got the ball back. 69 total plays, 7.1 yards per play. Those are our season averages. I think our season average is like 6.5 or something like that. Like, those are pretty solid. We basically played our offensive game. Yeah. And, like, we didn't have an off quarter, I don't think. Maybe the second quarter, if you want to say that. But we had 14 points there.
Yeah, and then the only reason the second quarter would be off is because of that last drive. We should have had 21 points that quarter. And the stop to play, we just kept over and over and over.
Yeah. When the offense did struggle, Army bailed them out with a couple roughing penalties.
Which, man, they were playing dirty. And this is how they have been playing us the past, at least since the bowl game that I can remember. Just late hits when the guys are down. They keep pulling. The refs missed a lot of holding calls on the receivers. It was pretty frustrating.
Yeah, I think one thing about Army, like, I don't know, the next time we play Army, which it looks like it's going to be in 2020, right? That's when they're on the schedule. It'll be too soon. Like, I don't want to play them in any bowl games. I definitely don't want to play them in a bowl game this season. I don't really want to see Army anymore. What did I say? I said Nick Smith? Am I saying Nick Smith? Somebody's asking me. I said Nick Smith. Somebody's tweeting. Sorry, I'm kind of getting distracted by live Twitter. We have a live question. Who is the most underrated player on this team in my hashtag humble opinion? Aldo, I'll let you go with that one. Who is the most underrated player on this team?
If we're talking about offense, I don't know. I'd say somebody like Lawrence. If you're comparing them to Bussey and Guyton, Lawrence is pretty underrated. Darden doesn't get enough opportunities, but Lawrence was there this past game, just drive after drive after drive. I mean, he only got 4 receptions, but I'm sure at least 3 of those were for first downs. And he's been there all season for the big clutch plays.
I'm going to go pretty generic. I'm going to say the offensive line. Mason's fine. You know, he got sacked a couple times this time. But I think some of those were coverage sacks. There was nobody open. He tried to run around and make a play. I think the offensive line. Last season, we were talking so much about how the line was terrible and he didn't have any time. And if this, that, and the other. But the key to a good offense is a good offensive line. And, you know, these guys, yeah, they have mistakes, but that's the nature of having an offensive line, right? Like, of playing the line. When you make mistakes, everybody looks at you, right? And they're like, what is this guy doing? Get him out of there. But when you're throwing touchdowns, nobody says, wow, that was great pass protection. Or look at the way he sealed his block. Or look at the way he just, you know, opened the hole on the other side. So I'm going to go ahead and say those guys. Jordan Murray, everybody looks at him, you know, when he misses a block or something like that. And I think he had one where he missed one, and I think Nick Smith had nowhere to run. Jordan Murray, what's his name? Gunter, Woodworth, Alex, Riley Mayfield out there. Good stuff by those guys. And Sosiah Mosey, center. He's toned it down on those high snaps now. You know that? That's good.
Yeah, getting pretty low.
that's my answer there. Thanks for the question. You can tweet more questions. Chris Rodriguez says, Nick Smith's blitz pickup was fantastic last night, and he's a freshman, which makes him more impressive. Yes, he's a redshirt freshman. One reason I'm not super sad. I am disappointed. I'm sad for Jeff Wilson being injured, but I mean, as far as the state of the program, I think everybody kind of realizes that they're in a good spot. Nick Smith is going to be good. He's already played really well. Evan Johnson has talent. He's a playmaker.
Pretty shifty.
Yeah. There's talent there. And, you know, you got to do that next man up thing.
And in recruiting, we've got eyes on some pretty good recruits. There's one JUCO in particular. I forget his name, but I'm pretty excited about if we get him.
Yeah, and we might even see some of the guys that haven't played that are still on the roster, like was it Andrew Tucker and Anthony Weish, still on the roster, still playing. I mean, they're still there. They just got pushed down a little bit. You know, we might see some more of them and see what they have. The running back position is in good hands in the future. We are already getting ready to like transition to the new generation. This is, you know, Jeff Wilson's senior year. It just really sucks that he went out this way, but a great effort for him. 19 carries, 72 yards, as I said, 2 touchdowns for Jeff. 3.8 yards per carry, which is not great, but it's good enough. It's winning football. He scored. He got yards when he needed to. Yeah. God, 561 yards.
Moment of silence for Jeff Wilson.
Yeah, 534 rush yards. I don't know if there's one thing that you can say that was the cause. Like it was, I mean, not
that's,
like
that's what Army does. They can fall forward. You know, watching them play Duke, watching them play Air Force, they can just fall forward on the fullback dive and they get 5 or 6 yards just by falling forward. They're just explosive off the line of scrimmage and they just, the dude's 230 pounds. He just goes for it. So that wasn't surprising. What was surprising that was so many long yardage plays by Bradshaw. Yeah. That was a little frustrating. We weren't able to be disciplined enough to stop him on like the end of rounds.
Yeah, I think at some point they realized that the dive was not their most explosive play. And I think it was somewhere where, I forget what drive it was, maybe even to start the second half. But it was like in the second quarter, Bradshaw was just picking up chunk yardage. And I think after the first half, I think he had like 113 yards or something like that. I tweeted it out. I forgot what it was, but he was just having himself a day. And then to start the second half, he had 50 yards rushing on the drive where they went down and scored with 2 giant runs, like a 31-yard run, a 22-yard run. And they were doing just like a QB ISO, right? You know, it's basically they instead the fullback just runs up and does a block, you know, like your old power eye kind of thing. The wingback just runs up there and gets a seal block, and, you know, Bradshaw just exploded through the hole. And, I mean, it was a clinic out there. Everything they did was, you know, like you said, instead of the 5 or 6 yards, it was 8 to 9 yards. And their explosive runs, their edge runs, instead of being, you know, the 6 to 7 yard runs, those are 17 to 20 yard runs.
Yeah, he got 27 carries for 244 yards.
2 touchdowns. He was averaging 9 yards a pop. As a team, Army averaged 8 yards a pop. What was it? There's another one. Like, 3 guys had longs of 30. Bradshaw, 31 yards. Wolfolk, 33 yards. Andy Davidson, the fullback, 35 yards. A turning point was, I think we forced them to punt on downs, or we forced them to turn the ball over on downs. They actually scored on that drive. The fullback exploded for like 30 yards, 40 yards, or whatever it was, right up the middle. It was a touchdown, but there was an illegal shift penalty. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There were 2 guys going in motion at the same time.
Yeah. So if it weren't for that, they would have had more stuff. The other thing I was going to say is, yeah, here it is. Army had their chunk plays. It's like 15. I counted them up earlier. 15 10-plus yard runs. And really, like, I'm going to just read them off to you. You can see how ridiculous this is. 25, 35, 13, 15. That was a touchdown. That was Bradshaw's touchdown. 14, 29, 12, 31, 22, 17. That was a touchdown. 22, 14, 23, 24, 33. Those are all rush yards. All rushing plays. Oh, and their chunk passing plays. One catch for 27 yards. First down.
On a critical moment.
Yeah, critical moment. It was like 3rd and 6 or something like that. Yeah, 3rd and 6 on the North Texas 29-yard line.
Yeah, if we can't expect to win against a team like FAU who can run it and pass it, if we allow this to happen again.
Yeah, I think after this game, I'm even less confident about the conference championship game because this reminded me a lot of the FAU offense. And that they have their base plays and they dare you to stop it. And then they have, you know, constraint plays, like plays to keep you honest. So that way you start hedging a little bit. Or when you start hedging a little bit to stop their favorite plays, or they're just, you know, ISOs and inside zone runs and things, then they hit you with some other stuff. And then you get sliced up for big yards. It reminded me of that. Like, this game, Army probably could have had 800 yards rushing on us or 800 total yards on us if they threw the ball better and maybe if they played at a higher tempo. But, you know, they huddle it up and then go line of scrimmage and whatever.
I mean, higher tempo, they were, you know, they would run four times in a minute and score. So there's
well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I was thinking about that too. It was like they actually, yeah, they did have minute 50 or minute 23 long drive. It was ridiculous. Watching them was ridiculous. I was hating triple option. You know, like you're like, wow, this is fun. Man, I hate this. God, I absolutely can hate this stupid offense. I never want to see it again.
Yeah, and I was tweeting that the Army offense was the anti-North Texas offense because, you know, yeah, we only got 103 yards on 33 carries. That's pretty bad. But we got 386 yards passing on 36 attempts. That's 10.7 yards per attempt. That's pretty insane. So while Army was getting these giant chunk runs, we were getting these giant chunk passes. So it was funny how we were dealing with a run first offense versus a quote unquote pass first offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's the air raid versus the triple option, and it's something that you only see in college football, even now, even with all the collegiate-defying of the NFL game. You're only going to see this kind of thing in college football. And even then, even now, you're really only going to see it at this level. I mean, I know like what Georgia Tech runs the flex bone, but it's Army, Navy, Georgia Tech, right? It's like,
yeah. New Mexico?
New Mexico, and then I think, is it Georgia Southern? They still run it. Not a whole lot. I mean, you can name five, six teams that run this kind of stuff. Everybody else is running some variant of a spread offense, like a spread to run, maybe like a, like in Arizona where they do something similar. But it was fun. When I let this settle a little bit, then I'm going to appreciate it more. But right now, that was yeah, that was awful.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, not a lot of teams run it, but when you have the right personnel, you have the right quarterback, you have the right fullback, you have the right offensive line, you get teams like this, like Army, who's now 8-3. You know, Georgia Southern, when they had, I'm forgetting his name.
The Tulane guy?
Yeah. He did awesome there for a while. So when you have the right folks, it can be pretty disruptive against, you know, Army beat Duke, which is a P5 team. Not that they're great, but it's still, if they're still a P5 team, there's something to be said about that.
Yeah, I guess the best way to put this team is maybe saying Army is not the team of the early 2000s that only won, you know, one or two games a season. This is a team that is, you know, an 8-win team, right? Has gone to back-to-back bowls and is really good. You know, they're not going to beat themselves, really. They did have some turnovers. They do have a talent disadvantage. But, you know, they're going to give you everything they got. They beat Navy last time, right? Everybody looks at Navy as in their perennial top 25 team, you know. And they're in the American Conference. Everybody loves them. But Army holds a winning streak over them, you know, dating from last season. And, you know, they probably can beat them again this year. Army's tough. And on top of all that, I think North Texas was specifically vulnerable to this team this time. Our defensive line is, you know, losing guys left and right. Right, Tillman Johnson went down with an injury. He was out for the game, for a good portion of the game. You look at Tuala Bear, and the dude was exhausted after the game. I mean, he gave everything that he had. He didn't have, you know, he didn't have enough. He couldn't be a one man show against Army. And they did enough, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, by enough, meaning that they left enough time for Mason Fine out there. Like, I don't know. I don't really hold it against this defense, considering everything that happened. And, you know, we've talked about it before. The only real answer to stopping this in the future is upgrading the talent. And I don't want that to sound like a knock on the current talent, but that's the case, is that we have solid linebackers, but we need playmaking linebackers. You know what I'm saying? Like ones that you're like, wow, look at that play. Look at the way he ran down that guy out of nowhere and blew that up.
Yeah, and this can be the case against Army or any other team, is that when you're running the 3-3-5 like we are, we need a solid nose tackle and we need a solid inside linebacker, which, you know, like you said, no disrespect to the current team, but we need, you know, if you're playing ESPN or NCAA, sorry, no, I was about to say ESPN 2K5, NCAA 15, you need that inside linebacker to have a star on them, and you need that nose tackle to have a star on them.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're missing right now. Like, that's what's keeping this defense from being, I guess, what everybody wants it to be, right? What we expect it to be. There were plays last night where if we had, say, some of the guys we've had previously at North Texas, right? Like a Zach Orr, a Derek Akune, Toby Nwigwe, and on, right? Cody Spencer, that kind of thing, right? If we had some of those guys, then those plays are blown up a little bit quicker. And, again, not to knock the dudes that we have right now. I think Ajayi kind of he's playing a little bit out of position, and he's asked to do a little bit too much. And, you know, he'd be more effective playing a role. And, you know, right now we just don't have – we're kind of missing. We're kind of in a weird transitionary spot. But the defense is good enough. I don't know that we match up very well against Florida Atlantic, and that concerns me. But I still think Florida Atlantic is beatable. I was talking about this last night. My wife's asking me, like, so how are we going to win? How are we going to beat that team? We'll get to them in a little bit. But that matchup is set. Florida Atlantic beat FIU in the Shula Bowl, which is a thing. Shula Bowls were a thing, turns out. And so it's official. We knew it was going to happen, but it's official now. North Texas versus Florida Atlantic in Boca Raton, Florida, 11 a.m. our time. It's our time. 11 a.m. Texas time, December 2nd. On ESPN2.
So sad.
Yeah. That's the thing, though. Like, Conference USA, the title game has always been played, like, early in the day. And I think it might do us a favor. Because you remember Houston? I don't know if you remember, like, was it 2012 or something like that? Maybe 2011? The year Houston was good, I think Case Keenum was only 35 years old. And they were, like, they're top... whatever, they were highly ranked, Houston, one of Houston's best teams, and Southern Miss beat them, in the bowl game, just jumped out all over them. It was like the last win Southern Miss had for like 2 years. And I think part of that is because you just play all of a sudden at 11 a.m. You go from playing 6, 7 p.m., now we're going to play at 11 a.m., what? I think maybe that works out in our favor.
That works out, and I think that was a Todd Monken team, if I remember correctly.
I believe you're right. I think
Jeff Monken's brother.
Yeah. Todd, where did he go? Is he?
He is the offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
There you go. All right, let's reset. North Texas is undefeated at home. How do you feel about that?
Oh man, I got shivers. I got goosebumps. Or goose pimples for all you weird people.
I don't say goose pimples. I say goosebumps. I'm a goosebumps kind of guy.
R.L. Stein kind of way. Yeah. No, I mean, it's excellent. It feels great. I mean, I hope we start getting noticed. Get a little bit more respect in the Metroplex. We should have beat SMU, but whatever. We are, what, the number two best record in the state?
Yeah.
And... I mean, I have no words. I've never seen this been done before because I came in 2004.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of games at home. I've seen a lot of losses at home. And it feels good. It's our time finally. And I'm sure like FAU fans are saying the same way. Yeah. The same thing that, you know, after years of just bad football, it's nice to see this reward for a fan.
I agree. So a couple things. Number one, yes, being undefeated at home is always a goal. Like we don't play such a schedule at home that we can't do this more often. I mean, again, 2013, they went 7-1 at home, And
it's not easy.
No, it's not easy, but it just means that you have a team that takes care of business. And you know, we've been kind of beating up our own team, saying, "Oh, I can't believe they've had such close games all the time. What is their deal?" You know, there's the flip side of that is the cliche that they just know how to win, they take care of business, right? Other teams lose those games. Other teams lose a game like last night because they can't score at the same rate, right? We've been talking about how the offense is really great. You and I have been talking about how the offense, this is a step in towards building a program. And right now, the offense is a little bit ahead of the defense. And that was to be expected. We expected that to be the case. But the offense is at a point where they're winning games. The offense is at a point where, hey, if they're down a touchdown, or 4 points actually, against UTSA, the conference's number one defense, you know, with a minute left, 98 yards to go, that they can do that. The offense is at a point where if they're down 17 on the road to Southern Miss in Hattiesburg, they can come back and hit them with bombs all day and score. The offense is at a point where, hey, if they need to score 52 points and score, what I say, 8 out of 11 possessions, they can do that. They can do that. And, you know, all but hit a game-winning touchdown bomb to Rico Buzzi to win the game. And then shake that off and say, you know what, we'll just drive down and kick a field goal. Like, the offense is at that level where that's a possibility, and they can do that. And, you know, like, if a good coach doesn't play with the team that he wishes he has. He plays with the team that he has, right? And I think South Latrell's been doing that, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing that this team can just almost score at will.
Yeah.
It's a team that is as good as Army. You know, we showed what we could do against UTEP. You know, a team like ODU, which... You know, the score made it seem closer than it was. We just score. We score a lot. And this is the most scoring I think we've ever seen out of any North Texas team. And it's all a part of the system that we have, the air raid system, and the players that we have recruited. You know, we have a number of new faces past two seasons, completely replacing the lineups that we had the past seasons before. You know, we didn't have Michael Lawrence. We didn't have Guyton. We didn't have Darden last year. So it's amazing how much we've progressed in just one season with new faces.
I think a good friend of the show, Billy Sierra, I think he posted in the message board, someone kind of quote him here. He said, "Hey, I think we found our guy. We finally found our guy. You know, the guy that we've been talking about that we could have got here in Mason Fine." And I think, you know, he has a point. I wanted to use this as I begin talking about the broadcasts. Like, effusive praise. Like, Sean Salisbury, I don't know what you guys think of him. You know, he's a big talker, and he's a radio guy. So he's a radio guy now. So he does a lot of, he's a little bit over the top. But he was effusive in his praise of Mason Fine. All right, so Billy says, after years of watching good QBs take in G5 non-automatic qualifier conference teams to double-digit win season, BCS bowls, and top 25 rankings, we finally got our guy. Guys like Ryan Dinwiddle, Jared Jabransky, Kellen Moore at Boise State, Alex Smith, Brian Johnson at Utah, Colt Brennan, Jordan Lynch, Austin Davis, Rakeem Cato, Brandon Dowdy, Case Keenum. List goes on. You know, Jordan Lynch was at, what, NIU or something like that, right? All these guys at the other schools, and we finally got ours because we finally got a coach who's willing to look past his height and realize what a QB with prototypical height who was actually a good QB would be hard to find, so getting a great one who was undersized was more likely. Yeah, we've been saying that here all the time, and I think this is more validation of the recruiting philosophy under Seth Luttrell. He said, we look at the tape, we find the good football players, and, you know, we get a guy that can play. And that was the case with Mason Fine. There was was it Chris Vanini wrote on The Athletic with, like, their subsite called The All-American. He wrote a big piece on Mason Fine last week and talked about how, you know, he was basically proving everybody wrong. Same story, right? He's undersized. I think somebody told him, yeah, kid, you're somebody at Arkansas State. Like, yeah, kid, you're going to play FCS. You're going to make a great FCS quarterback, but you're never going to play D1 football. And, you know, like, he got encouragement. And somebody said, look, what's going to happen is that you're going to get a last-minute offer, and that's going to be it. So you just got to be patient. And so it was. Seth Luttrell got hired. he knew this coach. He knew his coach at was it Locust Grove. Called him up, said, "Hey, you gotta look at this dude, Mason Fine. He's amazing." He does look at the tape. And he's like, "Yeah, we gotta get that guy." And
2-time Gatorade Oklahoma Player of the Year.
Graham Harrell said, "Like, yeah, he said he had the assistants put together. Like, give me the stats of every good quarterback here in Texas, right? Like, list everybody." And in Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, like, you know, the surrounding states, Mason Fine's numbers jump out. And he's like, "Who's this kid, Mason Fine?" He goes to see him. He's like, "Wow, he's a little tiny guy." But, you know, he was won over. And now Mason Fine is the single season passing leader at North Texas with, what, 3 games to go? 3,198 yards. And
3 games still.
3 games to go. If he stays on pace, right, this with 290 yards a game, he's going to finish at 4,070. And
for touchdowns, he's second right now for the season, and it could easily surpass, who is it, Mitch Marr, for 30 touchdowns, I think?
Yeah, I mean, he's at 26 right now. He's tied with, who had 26?
Ramsey?
Yeah, Steve Ramsey, yeah. Yeah, just, the North Texas passing records are pretty pedestrian. By if you compare them to, I mean, like...
Yeah, across the G5 landscape, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Any of the WAC schools would look at our records and be like, I'm pretty sure your career passing leader was passed by our guy in one season. You know what I mean? Like, guys throw for 4,000 yards on the regular elsewhere. And that's what we were excited about. Like, here are the guys that, you know, Graham Harrell is, you know, his name is all through the top 10 of the college football passing lists, right? So he's coaching a guy that has the talent to set records in Oklahoma and, you know, putting guys around him. To make that happen. And it's great to see it. It's amazing to see it. It's so fun watching little Mason Fine toss up 68-yard touchdown passes to Turner Smiley.
Yeah, and this is what makes a mid-major a formidable opponent. You know, like Billy was saying, you got those guys like Brent Stockstill. They went out and beat, what, Mississippi State or Ole Miss, Syracuse, a whole bunch of B5 teams. Brandon Dowdy at Western Kentucky.
Yeah.
They went out and beat some P5s, I think. You know, the list goes on and on, and this is what the biggest thing that was holding North Texas back the past several years, 5 years, ever since Derek Thompson graduated. You know, we had all these opportunity games when Texas had a down year. We had chances to make a statement there. Couldn't do it. Tennessee, we could have made a statement there. Couldn't do it. We just didn't have the quarterback.
Yeah, so many opportunities where if we had the guy, we could have been competitive. And he's only a sophomore. That's crazy. In the fourth quarter last night, North Texas, 193 yards total offense. Yeah, 53 yards rushing, 141 yards passing, 9 first downs, average yards per play, 8.8. And then we got the field goal. Just throwing that out there. The offense was amazing last night. You just look at the numbers. It's great. The defense, again, I'm less concerned about the defense. I feel like, given the situation, you know, it's understandable. Like, I don't think that the scheme is – we don't need to blow up the scheme because we allowed 500 yards, right? We don't need to change the coordinator. We don't need to bench a guy. We don't need to do any of those things. I think right now this defense is about as good as it's going to be. We need to get healthy, really. That's what we need to do. And you know, going forward to improve this team is we need to get better guys in here.
We need to win recruiting battles. That's for sure. We improved. Yeah. We focused on the offense last off season, and it paid dividends. And now we need to focus on improving the front six or seven.
Yeah, and let me be clear. By better guys, I mean like guys that are better than the other team's offense, right? Playmakers on defense. Guys that come in and can make a play. And, you know, that might mean we get undersized dudes out here. Like, the same way we have a, you know, 5'10 QB, maybe we get an undersized linebacker, but that can make plays, right?
We already do. Oh, but he needs to make plays.
Yeah. you know what I'm saying? You get what I mean. It's like, I can't think of his name right now. But the safety transfer from Oklahoma, the one who, I can't think of his name.
Oh, Marcus Trice.
Yes, Marcus Trice. I wanted to say his Twitter name, Be Great 8. I was like, he has a real name. I know it. Marcus Stroud, he's undersized. What is he, like 5'8 or something like that? He's not really your prototypical safety, although like a Bob Sanders, maybe, you know, he's like 5'7. But he was out there making plays. Like when he was on, he was one of the best players on the field. He was making plays, flying in for tackles, forcing fumbles, this, that, and the other. That's my opinion of the defense. I'm not gonna excoriate them right now. Army's a good team. The defensive line lost a couple guys, and we were a little short on depth, and we're banged up. So that's why it was a bad time to play Army. Like, you really want to play Army like first week of the season, so you can play, get some time, or after a bye, so you can prepare and recover and figure out what's going on. Rice might be a trap game, man.
Yeah, and you know, we've been talking about that for a few weeks. Rice can score. They're only have won one game this season, but they can put up some points. And it may come down to us having just, you know, like against Army, we just have to outscore them at the end of the game.
Yeah, I haven't been concerned about these last, with basically since FAU. Only La Tech concerned me because I thought they had the defense and the talent and the coaching know-how. Every other team is a little bit outside of our league. Like, they don't have the defense to stop to stay with our offense, or they don't have the offense to score with our offense. And really, my concern was like, are we gonna play to our level? You know, are we gonna like slow down and beat ourselves with drops or something like that? You know, I don't know. Same thing here is that we're going to go into this game. We want to get out of it healthy because the week after we have FAU, and FAU is going to be, they're going to be super confident. They're at home. They're going to be ready to play. And, you know, they put up 804 yards of offense on North Texas last time. And North Texas's offense came out really slow. So,
yeah. And what you were saying last week about, you know, us not playing for anything this week or anything important. You know, we've clinched a bowl, we've clinched the division. That's how I'm feeling for next week, that we might possibly come out, you know, throw a dud out next week in order to focus on FAU. Whatever. If we lose this week, we're still in a bowl. We still got the division. But I need us, or I would like us, to roll on them. In order to stay hot for FAU.
Yeah, you know, I'd like Mason Fine to come out and throw like 300 yards in the first half.
Three passes.
Yeah. Yeah. North Texas be up like 35-3 or something like that. And then, you know, right around third quarter, we can mix in some Quinn Shanbor and, you know, just run the clock out and dominate things. I'm going to be in Houston. So me and Green Nation, yours truly, Adam. Adam will be in Houston. I know a couple other people have expressed their interest in meeting up. So let's do it. We'll be out there. I think there's going to be an alumni tailgate. Last time we went to, it was pretty cool. I think everybody had a good time. I think last year I went to like 5 North Texas games, and this year I've been to the 1. God, I'm the worst. Yeah. Should be fun. I mean, I'm excited about going to it. I'm excited about the game because I'm going to it, right? I'm going to travel to Houston. I'm going to, you know, do the whole thing. But I can see how if you're just like, well, it's just Rice. Like, Rice is a good-ish team. Apparently, Wikipedia, whoever edited this Wikipedia entry, says that they are our rivals. And let me ask you, Aldo, you're a North Texas fan. Do you have rivalry hate for Rice?
I don't.
Yeah.
I only think about Rice when we need to play them, but and I'm sure they think the same thing too.
Yeah, I mean, Rice is they're a private school, right? And there's like 8 people that graduated from Rice, and they're all smarter than everybody else. And I mean, so it's really hard to kind of, you know, like, I don't know, it's really hard to get intense rivalry hatred for them. When they were good, you know, I think they went 7-1 in conference in 2013. When they were good, you can build up some of that hate. But everybody's been rolling over them since. You know, we beat them last year. And that was a tough game, but I mean, that was it, right? They went up 17. We came back, beat them in was it double overtime? That was a tough game. Yeah,
I think so.
And
it was a tough game, but, you know, there's no, it didn't create any kind of a rivalry.
No. They've been playing teams pretty tough, tougher than like UTEP has. Like UTEP got destroyed 66-21 by Southern Miss this weekend. That was pretty awful. Like meanwhile, so while we were scoring up all the points, 52-49 here in Denton, UTSA and Marshall were playing a 9-7 game. UTSA won with 3 field goals. Marshall scored a touchdown with like 14 seconds left or something like that.
Shake my head.
Yeah. I mean, it could be worse, guys. You've seen all this score. You're like, oh, there's no defense in this one. It could be worse. Like, we were like, oh, my God, where's the offense? Does anybody not know how to score?
So we should have 9 bowl eligible teams now?
Yeah, and I think if Louisiana Tech beats UTSA next week, there'll be 10. 10 bowl eligible teams in Conference USA.
That seems ridiculous. 10 out of 14 teams?
Yeah, the only ones not bowling are Charlotte, Rice, UTEP, and who else? There's one other one. Oh, the loser of the Old Dominion Middle Tennessee game. And they have 5, you know, they'll have 5 wins too. So that's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'm wondering if we can send everybody to a bowl game.
It could be. I mean, I don't know what their academic rate is for those two squads. Pretty crazy. So a couple of notes here. Jalen Darden has not been targeted very much. If you look at the targets, what? 11 for Rico Bussey. He's basically playing at that level that we thought he'd play at in the beginning of the season, right? It turns out that Jalen Guyton was the guy, right, early on in the season. But Rico Bussey has been coming on, and he would have had his fifth straight game with a touchdown pass or something like that, pass reception, if he didn't drop that one. But 7 catches, 85 yards for him, and he was targeted 11 times.
Yep. Yeah. There's a lot of opportunity there yesterday.
Yeah, and Turner Smiley came on. I mean, again, something about like October, November for that guy. He turns it on, yeah. And all of a sudden turns amazing. Yeah, 3 catches, 123 yards, 2 touchdowns. Yeah, and
he came on against Southern Miss last year.
Yeah. And then he had a big game against UTEP, too. But like the 3 catches, 2 scores, and 1 was the 10-yard out to set up the game-winning field goal.
Great. Yeah, he had quite a senior day for him, and he averaged 41 yards per reception.
Yeah, that would have been better if he didn't have that 10-yard out. Should have just dropped it.
You know what? I want to have 60 yards per reception.
Yeah. I mean, even Jalen Guyton with his 2 catches, 27 yards, touchdown. Mike Lawrence, 4 catches, 79 yards, touchdown. And his longest is 48. That was a pretty incredible. There's so many good plays in this game, man. You know, I listed the chunk plays for Army, and they had, what, 15 rushes? But for North Texas, what is that, 6? Yeah, 6 pass plays of over 15 yards and 4 run plays of 10 yards or more. So not too bad. And again, there was some short field there. 29-yard pass, 17-yard pass, 45-yard touchdown, 18-yard pass, 48-yard pass, 68-yard pass. There was that drop 40-yarder that would have been there. 11-yard rush, 16-yard rush, 12-yard rush, 11-yard rush. Those are the total plays, 10 chunk plays. Good stuff. Good stuff all around. Again, 7 of 11 on third down for North Texas, 63% conversion.
No fumbles lost.
Right. Only 1 third and long for North Texas, 2 of 5 on third and short, which is like 0 to 4 yards. The average distance to go was 4.9 yards. That's pretty solid. It's about what you want. I mean, 3rd and 5 is very, very reasonable. You know, I think Mason Fine scrambled for one and got one late in the game.
He got hit late out of bounds, I think.
There was a lot of holding. There was a lot of clutching and grabbing. I was watching a little bit of the game this morning, getting ready for the podcast. I turned on the DVR, and I was kind of just had it on. I was taking a peek. Yeah, they hit us late. I'm tired of playing Army, man. 3 times in 13 months. I think everybody's tired of Army. High five them. Good job, Army. Go play Navy, and don't play us no more. Please don't put us in the Armed Forces Bowl.
they were 2-1 in 13 months against them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the great part. It's like one was like super lucky, lots of turnovers, battle them into overtime, and now this one, a score fest. We've now played like two epic games against two service academies, right? The Navy one in 2007, where there was zero defense, but even to a more ridiculous degree, where like it was like 70-yard touchdown, 80-yard touchdown. Yeah, it was ridiculous. Yeah, and then this one, 49-52. Like combined total yardage is over 1,000. It's crazy. I 50 first downs. Jeez.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's not for the lack of defense, but
I mean, yeah, I think the deal was that North Texas couldn't, like, we didn't have like the discipline or the bodies to stay with them on the triple option, and they didn't have the athletes to run with us in the pass game. That was it.
And to be fair, you know, nobody has the season. That's why Army's 8-3 this year.
I mean, yeah, like I don't think they've put up 49 points against anybody other than Rice, right? I think they blew out Rice or something like that in UTEP or something. To give you an idea of how well they played today. But they've executed against everybody. Yeah, they're 8-3 for a reason. I still think North Texas is the better team. I think that was pretty evident there. But I mean, damn if Army didn't give them everything that they wanted. And I mean, maybe they could have probably stole the win if they went for two here and there or something. I don't know. Like that's what I was scared of.
But the game was so close the whole time that, you know, either coach would be mistaken to try to chase those points.
Yeah, it's true. All right, let's close the book on Army. Let's talk about Jeff Wilson's injury. That's going to be huge. It's an ankle injury. They're going to evaluate him today, tomorrow. We're going to see what's up. I can't imagine it's good. Usually, like, you get an ankle injury, and you're like, okay, it's not so bad. And then later on, you find out it's bad or something like that. But they can always be weird. They said immediately it was bad. He was in a walking boot immediately. And, you know, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, it really sucks for him to have to, one, end his senior games, his senior night like this, and possibly his senior season. He, you know, depending on the severity, he could not be able to play the rest of the way, which really sucks for him. I feel for him. He's had such a great career here at North Texas. He's done so much for the team that, you know, you want him to go on top. I'm just grateful that he was able to get 1,000 yards and, you know, 11 billion touchdowns this season.
Yeah, they were talking him up about his durability this season and how well 188 carries, 1,215 yards, 6.46 yards per carry average, 16 touchdowns, averaging 110 yards a game. Also caught 168 reception yards. He's been a workhorse. He's been great. He was the lone bright spot in 2015. He had a great 2016. He had a great 2017. I mean, you think about that 211 yards against UAB, the 148 yards against Southern Miss, and three scores in that one. You know, just the clutch down the stretch running against Louisiana Tech in 165 yard effort there. He had two scores in that game. Last week, he was amazing, 144 yards rushing, and then he had 58 yards receiving. He's a leading receiver by yardage, and he had a score in that one. He scored 5 straight games, touchdowns.
He has scored in every single game except for UTSA.
Yeah, and that one he had 83 yards rushing. He's been amazing. His pass blocking is amazing. I really hope he gets a shot at the next level. If it's really true that his time is done here at North Texas, hopefully he gets a little bowl appearance. That would be pretty amazing if he just got a run out in a bowl game where we all can, you know, give him a few carries to send him out the right way. It would really suck if you know, he just walks out there and limps off the field to end his career.
Yeah,
but I mean, at least the way he went down, that's a good way to go down, I guess, right? He went down fighting in a win, undefeated season at home. That's pretty special.
And, you know, we've got Nick Smith to pick up the mantle and see what he's got going into next season. So all eyes on him.
Speaking of, you know, you're complaining about attention. So Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com writes, Lane Kiffin gets the pub, but his Conference USA title game opponent, North Texas South Latrell, has done an excellent job in Denton turning things around. Latrell's 8-3 in his second season, and North Texas is 420 points, ranked second in the league. And Ben Baby, you know, alum, Dallas, was it Dallas Morning News writer? He said that we're playing for its first 10-win season since 1977, and it's worth noting that one of the wins in 77 was because of a Mississippi State forfeit. Before that, North Texas's only 10-win season came in 1947. So at least people are talking about us. Hey, guys.
Yeah, and, you know, the reason that anybody's talking about FAU is because it's coached by Lane Kiffin.
Yeah. Yeah. Second largest crowd in history. People are paying attention. What you do is you keep winning, right? Is next season, you do more of the same. And the following season, you do a little bit more of the same. And then all of a sudden, people are like, okay, North Texas is good. It's that easy.
You play well and you win, but you also play quality opponents at home. And that's a big, big difference, too.
Yeah. Army is good. And they're famous, right?
Yeah. If Army were maybe like 1-3-8 or whatever, 2-2-8 coming in, I think it would have been a different story.
I'm looking for our schedules, our future schedules. I can't think of a team that we have at home that's really good. Can you?
Are we hosting Houston?
I think we're in hosting a couple Houston. Seasons.
And we're coming home with Memphis.
Yeah, I think you're right. But that's like in the future, right?
Next few years. I can't exactly remember.
Sometime in the future, I want to say, yeah. All right, I'm looking it up right now. I'm clicking the... Man, it's crazy how FBSschedules.com is like the go-to source. I can remember it was just a site, and people were like, what is this thing? And now everybody just goes there immediately. Non-conference games next season at home... SMU here. I think that's a decent one. 2019, we have Houston coming here. 2020, SMU, Houston Baptist are our non-conference opponents in Apogee. 2021, Rhode Island, Liberty, Army. 2022, SMU. So, not the greatest opponent. You know, the thing is that SMU next season to open the year, that's going to be a big one because SMU's having a pretty decent season, and I think everybody's going to get hyped for that one. I think the last time, maybe a couple times, one of the times they played here, 24,000 people showed up at the game. Pretty decent crowd.
Yeah, and that was after a bad season for North Texas.
Yeah.
Actually, it was South Central's first season. So,
yeah.
And they were expecting big things for SMU. So they're a good draw.
Yeah. I mean, they're right there. You would think some of those SMUs would come over, right? What are y'all doing? Get out your daddy's Cadillac.
Not a lot of SMU fans show up to the game, unfortunately. But the name SMU does draw a lot of old folks to come out of the woodwork. A lot of the old SWAC fans.
Those people. Any other questions we have here? There's bowl game speculation going on in the Mean Green Nation Slack channel. I don't really like talking about bowl game predictions just yet because there's still the conference championship to talk about. Basically, the way I understand it is if you win the conference title, you get your pick. You get to choose where you want to go. I always think that the Heart of Dallas Bowl is a good venue. I love the Cotton Bowl. It's an historic venue. It's easy to get to. It's at a decent time of the year. People will make it out there and we'll get a lot of people. I think that's important for everybody. For the bowl game, they want to have a nice attendance figure, right? They want to have a couple good teams in a good game. North Texas puts up a lot of points. We are right there. You know, we bring a lot of people. Like last two times North Texas was there, 38,000 plus, right? It was like 38,108 and then 38,000, yeah, something. We beat that last year at the Army one. I don't think anybody is excited about playing an Army again, so I don't really want to go to Fort Worth and play Army in the Armed Forces Bowl again. I'd do it. We'd do it. We'd be happy with it. But I have to. Yeah. Nobody's really excited about it. I don't think Army's super excited about that either.
Yeah.
Besides that, we have what is the next best bowl? I think Independence Bowl.
Independence Bowl would be the best one.
Yeah, those guys were out there. Where is that? In Shreveport, right?
Shreveport.
Yeah. That's not too terrible of a drive for Dallas area people. You know, Shreveport is fun, depending on, like, I guess, your dispositions and your vices. You know, that's a good one. That's a famous bowl. That would be kind of cool to go to.
It's got a good payout.
Yeah. Beyond that, everything is kind of in a weird position. Again, I think North Texas gets their pick of the bowl because if they win the conference title game. If they lose it, I don't know where FAU chooses first. Where do they want to go? Where does Lane Kiffin think is good for him? The Bahamas Bowl?
No. He'll probably, I don't know, if... It would be weird if they picked the Boca Raton Bowl, because that would be at home and nobody would go.
Yeah.
Maybe this is St. Petersburg Bowl. Maybe he picks the Heart of Dallas Bowl to get, if we have a tie-in there.
Yeah.
In order to get the spotlight.
Yeah. That would be, you know, it would be funny if, like, North Texas ended up at the Boca Raton Bowl, because that would be three straight opportunities that I think I will have passed up on going to Boca Raton. Because I don't think I'm making the Boca Raton Bowl. I'm not. It doesn't look like I'm going to make the conference championship game, and I didn't go in. What was it? A couple months ago.
Span of 3 months.
Yeah. No. I'll deny you thrice, Boca Raton. I mean, for me, Heart of Dallas Bowl, Independence Bowl sounds great. I'll go out there. I don't want to go out to New Mexico. I'll do it, but I'm not excited about that. Are you excited to go to New Mexico?
No, I want to limit our choices to those two for personal reasons, because I don't want to drive out to New Mexico. I don't have the resources to go out there. I don't have the resources to go out to Florida for any of the bowl games out there, or even less to go to the Bahamas.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Bahamas Bowl is the most fun. I mean, yeah, especially given my current situation. Like, I got a kid that's, like, you know, young enough to, like, you know, to kind of leave somewhere, but not young enough where I'm like, well, I'm going to leave you for a couple of days because I'm going to the Bahamas, you know?
Under adult supervision.
Yeah. And then I don't think you can have fun that way in the Bahamas with a kid this young. You know what I mean? Just like, you're just more of a burden. You're going to cost money. I got to hang out with you. It's like, I'm going to waste money going out there. It'd be fun to see North Texas in a Bahamas Bowl, but I got to wait for like a year or two when I can do it on my own, I think.
So, I'm sure the players would love to go to the Bahamas.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not the first. You know what I mean? Like, if they're choosing, like, let's see what Adam thinks. Where does he think? You know, nobody cares what I think, and that's fine. Go, if they have the opportunity to go to the Bahamas Bowl, go to the Bahamas Bowl, because that's awesome. That's great for the players. They'll have a great old time, and that's what it's all about. They will have earned it. I'm just, you know, as you say, for selfish reasons, I'm hoping they don't choose that, because I don't know if I'm going to make it out there.
Some old, I used to teach some old Daryl Dickey players, and they said they loved going to New Orleans Bowl.
Yeah. I was going to mention that one. A couple of Vegas people have said the New Orleans Bowl. That would be cool. There's definitely a history of North Texas in the New Orleans Bowl. That would be cool. I'll go out there to New Orleans. I remember when I was looking for North Texas. Should I go to North Texas? I looked. I was like, hey, they went to New Orleans Bowl, you know, a few years ago. That sure seems like it's going to be a thing here, you know?
Like, but we'll be playing a Sun Belt team.
Yeah. Hey, whatever. We'll go back and beat them all. You know, do you miss me? I would, dude, if we played Arkansas State again, that would be great. I miss making fun of Arkansas State fans, because they get super riled up. Like, Arkansas State fans think that they are, like, Arkansas fans, you know? They think people care about them at the same level. Like, was it Rowdy Red Wolf Report and the Arkansas State Rivals Board? They get super super hyped, super angry. And that would be kind of fun. I'd be fine playing it. Would you care about Arkansas State?
I mean, I wouldn't care. I don't carry over the same rival. When I was going to the Sun Belt games, I think I felt a bigger disposition towards like a Middle Tennessee or Troy. Troy was a team that I always wanted to beat.
Yeah, because they would always destroy us. I mean, it's more about going to New Orleans, right? You go to New Orleans, yeah. You hang out. It doesn't really matter who you play at that point. But yeah, I think definitely you want to win that one. Besides, I don't know, whatever. A bowl game is a bowl game. It's pretty great to be in this position where I've seen three bowl games in the past, was it 5 years now? I will have seen. And that was pretty amazing because there was a 10-year stretch where there were zero bowl games, right? It's pretty amazing. Now we talk about conference championships, talk about bowl games.
It's insane.
Why not North Texas, right? It's finally coming. I mean, look, Dan McCarney did some good things. And, you know, I don't know if the new Denton thing bothers me as much as it once did, but I was kind of like, I don't know about that hashtag, new Denton. I do think South Latrell is a better coach, a better fit, better recruiter, and he was a good hire by Rick Villarreal, right? Villarreal.
Well,
you know,
one
he was.
Could argue.
Yeah,
it was a mattress there.
Yeah, yeah, but, you know, I guess Rick played a part in it, right? He at least was on the plane with them. He didn't mess it up.
Whatever you do, don't talk.
Just stand over there. I mean, so that was good. I mean, and even Dan McCarney, again, like, his last 2 years were awful. But I don't think they take away from the 2012-2013 seasons when he really returned his program to normalcy, I think, to where it was like at least a middle, just a regular old college football program.
Yeah, and the biggest impact he had is that he made people care about this team again. He made people have standards for it, and when he himself wasn't meeting those standards, then everybody said, okay, it's time to go. There are expectations we're not meeting. Now we're going to go get Seth Littrell.
Yeah, I think those are good points. I mean, I'm glad they went and honored him. I'm glad they went and honored Daryl Dickey. I think at a certain point when you fire a coach, there's necessarily kind of like some animosity. You got to break from it just from a organizational design and change kind of perspective there. But once that's done with, you can kind of reconnect with that and you can, you know, relive the good times.
And credit to the athletic department to and Ren Baker to reach out to these old coaches, you know, Daryl Dickey, Dan McCarney,
Hayden Fry. Yeah.
Hayden Fry, you had Abner Haynes, you had Mean Joe Green out there, but he's out there all the time. And then Congressman Michael Burgess was at the game. So he's been doing a lot of outreach to try to get people reconnected with the program to say, hey, we've got some history here. Let's remind everybody that we were used to be good in the 60s. Now it's time to be good again.
Yeah, and I think that's a thing that a lot of programs go through. All of this stuff, it happens. I was talking earlier about getting people to the stadium, and I think it was I was complaining about the black jerseys. I'm like, you know, I think they wanted a blackout, and I was like, you know, I'm going to wear green. I like green and white. I'm not going to wear black. I'm like, oh, what's the marketing gimmick? Everybody comes up. And I'm like, you know, it's hard enough to try to get people to the stadium. And it reminded me of what my old boss who went to Texas during the, like, early Mac Brown years, the John Makovic years, like in mid-90s and stuff. And he was saying how hard it was to get Texas people to show up to those games and that they just had, like, a simple slogan, right? You know, like, show up, be loud, wear orange, right? I think that's a good kind of just, you know, you keep it simple, right? Just, hey, this is it. And I think that's what the good part of the new Denton thing is. Like, hey, this is it. Don't worry about everything else. But I think we're getting to that point where we can have a more complicated conversation with the fans. Like, yeah, we're good now. Also, we were good here in 2013. Also, we were good in the early 2000s. Also, we were good in this, you know, 60s and 70s. Also, we have some, you know what I mean? Like, start tying that all in after you get them to the stadium. You have to get them to the stadium first. And, you know, I think you gotta go simple at that point.
Which you know, we did a good job of doing that this season. We twice, you know, broke the attendance record for the number two spot. You know, it's going to be difficult to beat that Houston number until we host Houston again, I guess.
I think there's a shot. To open So open next year, right? I think SMU's the opener.
Yeah. So that'll be the next good, solid opportunity to bring a whole bunch of people up. Because UTEP, you know, they're 12 freaking hours away, but they brought people.
Yeah.
And they did a good job of filling their section. Army brought a whole bunch of people. They filled up their section. They put people in the tail. They put people in the alumni side.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought people. SMU, it's a 45 freaking minute drive. Get your butts out to the stadium. Quit, you know, putting on your Texas shirt, going out to watch that game, and then talk smack on your terrible board.
Yeah. Go through your closet. Move past the TCU shirt. Move over the Texas Tech shirt. It's probably behind the Oklahoma shirt. Get your SMU gear out.
I mean, it's just a white shirt. Just put on a white shirt.
Yeah. So Rice next week. Rice, you know, I'm really hoping that they get back to getting good, but not good enough that they can beat us. But it's a little more fun when Rice is good. And speaking of programs with history, stadiums with history, like Rice Stadium hosted a Super Bowl once. It's nice-ish. You know, from like if you're looking at it from that view, if you're looking at it from a modern view, it's out of date. Like you go get concessions, and you start looking around. Like when the concession stand dude asks you what the score is, and you're like, well, why don't you? Oh, there are no TVs here. I see why you're asking me. I was like, what about your phone doesn't get reception because you're like in a concrete box, you know? And
yeah,
you're like, oh, okay,
Fort Stadium as well.
Yeah, Fort Stadium's a little bit like that too. I mean, yeah, that's the deal, is that Rice should be fun. And I've been saying this every week, right? Like, there's not a whole lot for, like, a fan to get super excited about. There's no – even this week, go undefeated at home. Now it's what? Go undefeated in the division, I guess? That's what we're going to say. Finish strong is what I'd say. I think there's a large contingent of North Texas fans in Houston. And, I mean, I'm going to go meet up with a couple alumni, like people that moved back from here. They're from Houston, moved back there. There was a big turnout last year when we played them there. You know, everybody had a good old time. I think there are more North Texas people in Houston than there are in San Antonio. I know that. And I think it's going to be like Apogee Light. It was, I think the crowd outnumbered the Houston people there. And I want to say it's going to be similar. It's going to be something similar. And
it's going to be on the athletic department to be able to wrangle up enough folks to go to the Rice game.
I want to say there was like a caravan last time. Did they do that last time? But they're having a big tailgate, the alumni tailgate outside the thing. I think you know everybody's. It was a huge turnout last time. Like it was like overflowing, right? We went to it. It was a good time. I don't know how many people are going to travel during like the Thanksgiving holiday.
That'll be tough, yeah.
That's what I'm wondering about.
But if you got a whole bunch of alum in Houston that, you know, it's after Thanksgiving, they've got nothing better to do.
Yeah.
But let's go to a game.
Yeah, I mean, and they're going to see, like, right as I said this, like there's a tweet from the UNT Alumni Association, and they have old NT Sports Stats there again, his picture. They love that guy. I agree with you. Like, it's a good team. It's one thing to go see your school, right? You're like, oh yeah, we can go see North Texas, right? Are they good this year? No, I don't know. They're not. Well, we'll go see them. We'll see them for a little bit. But now you're like, hey, they're good. We get to go see them. That's a whole different attitude, and that brings in like one or two, three other people. And you mentioned this. I know. NTSportsStats.com has been tweeting it. Like, we have the second best record in Texas. It's good that Texas is down and that Texas A&M had, like, their kind of bad start of the season because there's not a whole lot of talk right now. Like, TCU is doing good, but let me tell you what. Nobody cares about TCU. Nobody cares about TCU. Nobody. Yeah. There are people in Fort Worth that call them their team, but nobody cares about Fort Worth either. Yeah, I said it.
So your point is that there's nothing to talk about, so that's why. Hey, look, North Texas.
No, I'm saying like this is the perfect time to take advantage of this thing, right? Like I'm kidding about Fort Worth. I have a bunch of friends in Fort Worth. But no, like so 2014, right? Texas is down. We're down there. We're in Texas. That was an opportunity. We could have beat Texas. Like, when you beat Texas, that gets nationwide. Yeah, it does get, like, nationwide publicity, but definitely statewide publicity. You know, let's state some facts here, right? Everybody knows what the University of Texas is doing. Everybody knows what their situation is pretty much at all times. And, you know, to a lesser extent, A&M. But to a large, like, if you, the closer you get to College Station, then yeah, like in San Antonio, there's a lot more people that walk around spouting A&M facts. But definitely Texas, all over the state, people care, people know. So when they're down and nobody's just like the local television station is not just blasting Texas, Texas, Texas at your TV right now. Like, imagine if University of Texas was like in the national title race right now, like it would be even harder to get a minute on the local news station to just wave your hand, like, look at North Texas, we're 8-3. They're like, yeah, but Tom Herman's going to the college football playoff, right? Now they're going to a bowl game or whatever, but they're still not where they want to be, and so we have to take full advantage of this opportunity, you know?
Well, and this is how hard it is for North Texas to get that publicity. You know, ESPN is talking all day about Lane Kiffin in Florida, leading Conference USA. Well, we're over here, you know, 8-3, clinching our division a week earlier than them, and getting the only publicity we get is that, hey, look, Lane Kiffin, blah blah blah. Oh, and y'all are playing North Texas in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and I mean, again, I think what the only thing to do is to do the only thing that there is to do is to win. Right? That we're not. I mean, we're not going to get the pre-hype. We're going to get the post-hype. That's how you do it. And I was, I think I was talking about this on the Slack before. So I don't know how many people remember 2005, 2006, when, Vince, everybody remembers Vince Young's score against USC now. Now they remember that. But before then, leading up to it, the ESPN talk was about how good USC was. I think they were on like a 30-game win streak or something like that. There was real and constant talk about how good USC was. Like historically, like, is this the best college football team that has ever played? You know, are we watching the best team? And that really got like Texas hyped up. They're like, is nobody talking about our number two team in the nation scoring 50 points a game with Vince Young, who's amazing? And, you know, that kind of got them over. But if Texas would have lost that game, everybody would have forgot about Texas, right? We would have been talking about USC still. Like, turns out, yes, they were the greatest team ever. So, very similar to that, this upcoming opportunity, conference title game, is a huge opportunity. Let them talk about Lane Kiffin. Let them hype it up, because then everybody's going to watch the game. And then if North Texas, if Seth Luttrell, if Mason Fine can pull off the what seems impossible and beats FAU in Boca Raton in the conference title game with Lane Kiffin doing his stupid little smirk, then what? Now everybody's watching it. Like, you tune in for Lane Kiffin and you got to see North Texas. You're welcome, right? That's fine. They want to put up a big show and put Lane Kiffin on the marquee. That's fine, because North Texas gets to be on the stage also, right? Mason Fine gets to be on the stage also. So it's on those guys to take full advantage of that opportunity, you know? You only get one shot.
Shoot your shot.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. That's all you can ask for. Like, you know, we can complain about, like, the it does get a little annoying. We can complain when people are not paying attention. Like, oh, we're 8-3, guys. Can you say something? But once we get their attention, like, we have an opportunity. It's going to be on ESPN2, which is not ESPN. It's fine. It's ESPN2. It's not Conference USA TV. It's not, you know, BN Sports.
Facebook Stadium.
Yeah, it's not on somebody's Facebook feed. It's on ESPN2. It's a real-life channel. So, I mean, let's take full advantage of it, full and absolute advantage of it. Let's avenge that loss, that 804-yard disaster.
Beatdown, evisceration, whatever you want to call
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't care, man, if North Texas wins, 85-84. Just win. Just win, baby. Throw more. I mean, you know, Al Davis would have loved this team, right? Mason Fine just going, throw it deep. Throw it deep.
Yeah, I mean, I just want Mason Fine to explode all over FAU.
Yeah, 758 yards passing in that game. That's kind of roughly what I'm aiming for now.
Two passes.
All right, folks. I think we're about done here. If you disagree with my point about all this stuff, you can let me know. Tweet at me. I'm Mean Green Nation on the Twitter. You can email me, podcast@meangreennation.com. If you want to email Aldo, you can email me, and I'll pass it along to Aldo. Even if you're like, you know what, this is really only for Aldo, and it's not for you at all, that's fine. I won't read it. I'll just send it his way. But you can find Aldo on Twitter at
Aldo Avina, AldoAvina.
And yeah, you can subscribe to the Mean Green Nation podcast. And this has been the Mean Green Nation live podcast, brought to you by the Mean Green Nation podcast, a presentation of MeanGreenNation.com, a subsidiary of the Martinez Company. We Martinez, so you don't have to. Brought to you by Your Ad Here. Read promo code now. End spot. Brought to you by... Oh, sorry, it just...
It keeps going.
Yeah. I was laughing at the radio broadcast last night. I was like, what? It's like 15 sponsors for this 2-second spot here.
So I just want to throw one last thing out there.
Yeah.
Mason Fine, doing awesome. Career season. Also moving up the career spots and passing and touchdowns. So I'm excited to see how he finishes this season. And he's going to obliterate all the passing records because he's got 2 seasons left. And 3 games is left this season. So it's nuts.
Yeah, it's really ridiculous. And I'm excited about it. And I think North Texas is in a really good spot. And, you know, I feel like, again, same way we got to take advantage of that conference championship game, I think we got to take advantage of this moment. We got to take advantage of it on the recruiting trail. You know, season tickets, donations, all the things, right? Like, you got to strike. Because you never know. You know, I was talking again about that Southern Miss team that beat Houston in that conference title game. They felt super good, and then they immediately went and lost, like, 24 straight games. You know? Like, that's a terrible fall from grace. 2013, Rice won the conference championship, and now they are the second worst team in the league, right?
Yeah, we're doing what mid majors should be doing, and we need to continue and build on that success.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, if you want to continue and do the kinds of things that like Billy was talking about there, if you want to change your program from just another mid major, you know, to the team of North Texas, right, a force to be reckoned with, to do a little TCU there, you got to take advantage of all your opportunities there. Like, I mean. Way back when TCU went to Oklahoma and beat Oklahoma at Oklahoma, right? FAU is not nearly as good as Oklahoma was. The disparity is not there. But, you know, beating FAU in Boca Raton is a challenge, but it's not so insurmountable that it cannot be done, you know? But first up, Rice. Rice next week. Everybody have a happy Thanksgiving. Thanks again for listening to the Mean Green Nation podcast. I know Aldo enjoys it. I enjoy it. This is good. It's fun talking North Texas with everybody and everybody listening. It's great. It's great.
It's fun to win.
Yeah, it's great to do it at all, right? We're doing this when the program sucked. It's even more fun when they win. Just so much to talk about. There's so much to do. It's fun. And we're trying to do more and more. Consider signing up for a little membership there. It helps me basically keep the site going because ironically, as the site becomes more popular, it costs more to host, right? You know, people are like, wow, let's read about Mean Green. And then, you know, whatever. So your membership helps keep it going. And I try to do a couple cool things. When we sold shirts, I gave everybody that was a member a discount on the shirt. I don't know, little things. Like, I was actually writing an ebook for the season preview, and I was going to, like, put it out there for $10. I was going to give that for free to everybody that was a member. That kind of fell through because I got super busy at work. But things like that. There's no, you know, obvious gifts. I think the next thing we're going to try to do is give a little shekels to somebody to really get into the recruiting game. You know, like, people like recruiting. I'm not the hugest fan of recruiting. But if we could, you know, give a few bucks to a guy to do that and let them really get into it, that's the plan. So if you want more of that, that's how you make it happen. You give me money, basically. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.